I wonder, did you get the chance to watch any movies over the Christmas holidays? I'm always amazed when I open our copy of the Radio Times just how many movies are on over such a short period of time. And we'll each be drawn to the movies that we like. It's perhaps action movies or war films, murder mystery, or we're drawn to some of the big franchises where we're now on movie number 9, 10, or 11 of whatever the storyline and plot is. But I think there is one type of movie that we're drawn to as human beings, and it's because every movie kind of has this written into its storyline. And we like it because perhaps we see in it something that we would like of ourselves. And it's the story of someone going from rags to riches. There's something within us that enjoys a good story about someone making it good. And it perhaps stems from our own wish and our own desire to improve our lives in some way. Stories that best portray this, and perhaps you saw different adaptations of them over the holidays, was Great Expectations, a story by Charles Dickens where the young boy Pip, growing up in a blacksmith's cottage, is given the opportunity of education and grows up to become a gentleman in London. Or perhaps Les Misérables, the French story by Victor Hugo, telling the story of Jean Valjean, a convict who transforms his life to become a successful businessman and mayor of the local town. Or maybe Roald Dahl, where Charlie Bucket comes from an impoverished family to successfully win Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. We enjoy these stories because they give us hope that life can be different and that life can be better from what it is. And the account of Joseph, as we now find it at the end of chapter 41, is a rags-to-riches story. And it's been quite a number of weeks since we followed the happenings of Jacob's favorite son. So we're going to take a minute to recap. We're introduced to Joseph in Genesis 37, and we discover that he is one of Jacob's youngest children, but he is different from the rest of his brothers. This boy is a dreamer, and I don't mean a daydreamer, but he's someone who has dreams that come directly from God and have a meaning and have a purpose. And we can easily look at Joseph and say that he doesn't start life in rags. In fact, Jacob was quite wealthy, but Joseph's circumstances reduce him to a position of slave as his brothers, through their jealousy, sell him to Ishmaelites, who in turn sell him into one of Egypt's stately homes. And it's there in Potiphar's house that Joseph rises to be in charge of the whole household. But Potiphar's wife makes life difficult for the young, handsome Joseph, and she wrongly accuses him of inappropriate behavior. And he ends up in jail because of that. There he languishes until he's joined by Pharaoh's butler and baker, two men incarcerated for displeasing the king. These two have dreams, and Joseph again correctly interprets their meaning. And they're released from prison. One returned to his position, and the other executed. And Joseph waits on. But things change when there's a bit of an unsettled night in the royal palace because Pharaoh can't get to sleep. He has a dream and no one, not even his own wise men, can interpret what this dream means. And it's at this moment the penny drops with the baker, and the baker remembers the young Hebrew in prison. And so Joseph is brought to Pharaoh and correctly interprets the dreams regarding 7 years of good crops and then 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh is so taken with Joseph. This is how we left things at the end of November in verses 39 and 40, as they told us. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this